He says, ثم مسائل في شعائر سنة تجب معرفتها وإياك أن تبتدع في دين الله سبحانه وتعالى ما لم يأتي به كتاب ولا أثر فتكون مع الله سبحانه وتعالى على أعظم خطر. So alhamdulillah, we explain this. Then he says something so nice. وجميع أدلة التوحيد موجود أصلها في كتاب الله تعالى سبحانه وتعالى. He says something so nice here. He says all the evidences of tawheed, the foundations of those evidences are in the Quran. MashaAllah. We have to reorient people when they are struggling in their iman or struggling in their lives to first go to the Quran, not to people, not to other human beings. فالشيخ, he says, وَجَمِعُ أَدِلَّةِ التَّوْحِيدِ. All of the evidences for the foundations of Tawheed, مَوْجُودٌ أَصْلُهَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. The person asking about Taraweeh, Alhamdulillah, in Instagram, there's no need to waste people's time on that. We talked about it last week, inshallah. Habibi, you can go and watch the lecture from last week, inshallah. We explained it over there. But barakallahu feek, great question. وقد ذكرها شيوخنا رضي الله عنهم في كتبهم التي صنفوا في أصول الديانات. Then he says, and those evidences are mentioned by our teachers in the books of أصول الدين. Then he continues and he says, وعلى جملة كل ما لا تأمن الهلاك في جهله فطلب علمه فرض. This is actually a very beautiful statement that we should take with us throughout our lives. And that is that كل ما لا تأمن الهلاك في جهلي فطلب علمه فرض. That anything whose ignorance prevents us from feeling secure about our state in the hereafter, then learning about it is an obligation. Allahu Akbar. So how should I prioritize what I need to learn in Usul al-Din? The questions, who's your Lord? What's your deen? Who's the one who taught you this religion? فَكُلُّ مَا لَا تَأْمَنُ الْهَلَاكَ فِي جَهْلِ. Right? Being ignorant of it is not going to be an excuse. Being ignorant of it may actually prevent me from being secure in the hereafter. فَالطَلَبُ عِلْمِهِ فَرْضٍ. Then that is an individual obligation upon me. لَا يَسُوغُ لَكَ تَرْكُهُ. It's not allowed for you to avoid it. فَهَذِهِ هَذِهِ وَبِاللَّهِ تَوْفِيقٍ. Shaykh, he emphasized, he says, so that is what it is. Then he says, وَأَمَّا الَّذِي يَتَعَيَّنُ فَرْضُهُ مِنْ عِلْمِ السِّرِّ فَمَعْرِفَةُ مَوَاجِبِهِ وَمَنَاهِ حَتَّى يَحْصُلَ لَكَ تَعْظِيمُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالْإِخْلَاصُ وَالنِّيَّةُ وَسَلَامَةُ الْعَمَلِ. Here, he says something very beautiful. He says, so we talked about aqidah, we talked about fiqh, now let's talk about sir to Allah, right? That relationship between you and Allah. He says, as for those things which are an obligation for you to know in tasawwuf, فَمَعْرِفَةُ مَوَاجِبِهِ وَمَنَاهِي. You have to know what is obligatory and what is prohibited. حَتَّى يَحْصُولَ لَكَ تَعْظِيمُ اللَّهِ. Until you start to experience the greatness of Allah. وَالْإِخْلَاصُ لَهُ. And sincerity to Him. وَنِيَّةُ وَسَلَامَةُ الْعَمَلِ. That you experience like sincerity in purpose and the preservation and safety of your actions. وَجَمِيعُ ذَلِكَ يَتِي فِي كِتَابِنَا هَذَا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And he said, this is what we're going to go over in this book here. Then he says, وَأَمَّا مَا يَتَعِيَّنُ مِنْ عِلْمِ الشَّرِيعَةِ. And then what you have to know related to the issues of Sharia. فَكُلُّ مَا يَتَعِيَّنُ عَلَيْكَ فَرْضُ فِعْلِهِ وَجَبَ عَلَيْكَ مَعْرِفَتُهُ لِتُؤَدِّيَهُ. He says something here also, it's nice, man. He says, anything which is an obligation upon you, then knowing about it is an obligation. لِتُؤَدِّيَهُ, so that you can do it. كَالطَّهَارَةِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّوْمِ, like purification, like prayer, like fasting. وَأَمَّا الْحَجُّ وَالزَّكَاةُ وَالْجِهَادُ فَإِنْ تَعِيَّنَ عَلَيْكَ فَرْضُهُ وَجَبَ عَلَيْكَ عِلْمُ. He says, as for things like Hajj, Zakat, Jihad, marriage, other things like this, right? They become obligatory upon you at the moment you need to do them. Right? So you want to go to Hajj? So you should take like a course how to make Hajj. You need to pay Zakat, reach out to someone who can help you pay Zakat, and so on and so forth. لِتُؤَدِّيَهُ وَإِلَّا فَلَا. So that you can perform them correctly, because if you don't learn about them, how are you going to do it? فَهَذَا حَدٌ مَا يَلْزَمُ الْعَبْدَ تَحْصِيلُهُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ لَا مَحَلَ. He said, these things that I just explained to you, what you have to know about usuluddin, what you have to know about sir to Allah, you know, sir with Allah, your relationship with Allah, and what you have to know about fiqh, فَهَذَا حَدٌ مَا يَلْزَمُ الْعَبْدَ تَحْصِيلُهُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ لَا مَحَلَ. This is what you have to know without any shadow of a doubt. وَتَعَيِّنَ فَرْضُهُ بِحَيْثُ لَا بُدَّ لَكَ مِنْ دَارِكَ. And the reason that these things are fard is because you can't achieve success, meaning, in the hereafter without them. فَإِنْ قُلْتَ فَهَلْ يَفْتَرِدُ عَلِيَّ أَنْ أَتْعَلَّمَ مِنْ عِلْمِ التَّوْحِيدِ مَا أَنْقُضُ بِهِ جَمِيعًا مِلَلِ الْكُفْرِ. Maybe, yeah, what he means, someone's asking, you mentioned marriage and obligatory at that time. Yeah, so someone starts to feel like, you know what, I want to get married. Right? Then at that moment, they need to start learning. How do you get married according to Sharia? What are the things that you need to have in place? What are the conditions of nikah? How does nikah happen? Right? What are the rights of each spouse and responsibilities? At that moment, they should know that as much as they can in a general way before they get married. And this also includes emotional and psychological issues. فَإِنْ قُلْتَ فَهَلْ يَفْتَرِدُ عَلَيَّ أَنْ أَتَعَلَّمَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ التَّوْحِيدِ مَا أَنْقُضُ بِهِ جَمِيعًا مِلَلِ الْكُفْرِ. Maybe you might ask, does this mean that I have to learn everything related to the science of theology, which is going to allow me then to defeat the other religions around me, like if they try to argue with me? Do I have to know all that stuff? وَأَلْزِمُهُمُ حُجَّةَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَنْقُضُ بِهِ جَمِيعَ الْبِدْعِ وَأُلْزِمُهُمْ حُجَّةَ السُنَّةِ. So someone's saying, do I have to know everything about theology and Sharia to the point that I can like defend Islam at the highest level from the attacks of the disbelievers, and I can defend Islam from Ahlul Bid'ah? Me just as a normal person, do I have to know all that? He says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ هَذَا فَرْضَ عَلَى الْكِفَايَةِ. No. This is the job of scholars. This is a communal obligation. A communal obligation today, I think in Yaqeen, there's a great paper that came out, mashallah, on expanding the idea of fardu kifaya. You should read it. It came out, I think, today. It's really good, mashallah, written by a Sheikh Yusuf Wahab al-Azhari, one of our dear brothers. وَإِنَّمَا يَتَعِينُ عَلَيْكَ مَا تُصَحِّهُ بِهِ اِعْتِقَادَكَ فِي أُصُولِ الدِّينِ لَا غَيْرُ. He said, and what is an obligation upon you is to know whatever is going to set your creed correct, what is going to allow you to have proper belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, the 50 obligations, and any doubt that you may have. No more. وَكَذَلِكَ لَا يَتَعِينُ عَلَيْكَ مَعْرِفَةُ فُرُوعِ إِلْمِ التَّوْحِيدِ ودقائقه والاتيان على جميع مسائره. This is very important. He said, and this is the opinion of the majority of Sunnis. Ah, هذا علم كلام. بلا شك. We know that the majority of Sunni ulama throughout history, من أهل كلام. I like to tell people who say Islam is anti-intellect, this and this, you can say, man, the science of theology is called علم كلام, the knowledge of talking, because we should talk about God. Allahu Akbar. Na ilm al-sukut, the knowledge of being silent. وَكَذَلِكَ, he said, لَا يَتَعَيَّنُ عَلَيْكَ. Also, it's not a must upon you. مَعْرِفَةُ فُرُوعِ عِلْمِ التَّوْحِيدِ. To know the secondary issues of the scholars of theology, like we see now between the Salafis and the Sufis and the people of Kalam and the people of Athar, unfortunately presenting these secondary issues as the main issues, when these are issues of secondary importance. ودقائقه والاتيان على جميع مسائله. لا يا شيخ. Then he says, here's the point that I made earlier. نعم إن وردت عليك شبهة في أصول الدين تخاف أن تقدح في اعتقادك فيتصين عليك حل تلك الشبهة بما أمكن من الكلام المقنع. Here he says something. But if you encounter a doubt in your life or something that starts to confuse you related to theology, at that moment, you need to ask about it. وإياك والممارة والمجادلة. And Sheikh Al-Ghazali says, be careful of wasting your time arguing and fighting with people. Can you imagine if he was alive today and he saw this? Western Muslims need to fear Allah. Because for the last 25 years, we have not taught Islam to build amongst ourselves. We taught Islam to destroy each other. And look at the fruit. So he says, وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْمُمَارَةَ وَالْمُجَادَلَةَ. Be careful of arguing and debating. فَإِنَّهَا دَاءٌ. Because it's a sickness, مَحْضٌ, a pure illness. لَا دَوَاءَ لَهُ, for which there is no cure. فَاحْتَرِزْ مِنْهُ جُهْدَكَ. So with all your might, avoid it. فَإِنَّ مَنْ ارْتَدَاهُ لَمْ يُفْلِحْ. Because the person that gets caught up in it will never succeed. إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِرَحْمَتِهِ وَلُطْفِهِ. Now, subhanAllah, if we ask most Muslims, what are you learning? They'll talk about, I learned this sheikh was wrong, this sheikh was wrong, this scholar was wrong, this group is wrong, this is wrong, this person made this mistake, this person made this. That's not learning. That's talk show, that's Jerry Springer, bro. But if you ask them, can you read Al-Fatiha correctly? No. How you treat your wife or your children or your husband? Right? This online social media Islam needs to be regulated in a way that it's constructively building people, not amplifying differences and turning things into talk shows. Yeah, why? SubhanAllah. We're going to imitate other people. Then he says, ثُمَّ أَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ إِذَا كَانَ فِي كُلِّ قُطْرٍ دَاعٍ مِنْ دُعَاتِ أَهْلِ سُنَّةِ يَحُلُّ الشُّبُهَ وَيَرُدُّ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بِدْعَةِ وَيَسْتَقِلُّ بِهَذَا الْعِلْمِ وَيُصَفِّي قُلُوبَ أَهْلِ الْحَقِّ عَنْ وَسْوَاسِ الْمُبْتَدِعَةِ فَقَدْ سَقَطَ الْفَرْضُ عَمَّنْ سِوَهَا. He says, and know that if there are a scholar, but he would say scholars, amongst you, wherever you live, that are dealing with the issues of theology and fiqh and purification of the heart and responding to the aggressions of non-Muslims, then it's not an obligation upon you. كَذَلِكَ لَا يَلْزَمُكَ مِنْ مَعْرِفَةِ دَقَائِقِ عِلْمِ السِّرِّ وَجَمِيعِ شَرْحِ عَجَائِبِ الْقَلْبِ إِلَّا مَا يُسِدُ عَلَيْكَ عِبَادَتَكَ. Said the same thing with ilm al-tasawwuf. You don't have to know all the little subtle things about the heart and the ruh and the soul and this and this. La, this is how people got lost. He said, but what you gotta know, فَيَجِبُ عَلَيْكَ مَعْرِفَتُهُ لِتَجْتَنِبَهُ. You have to know about those things that are good for your heart, that are going to be about your salvation, so you can avoid those evil things. وَمَا يَلْزَمُكَ فِعْلُهُ. And those things which Allah has commanded for your heart to adopt, كالإخلاص. And I'll say this now. One of the most important things that the hearts of the Muslims should adopt is having a good assumption with God. And nowadays you find that hard. حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ مَا يَلْزُمُكَ فِعْلُهُ كَالْإِخْلَاصِ وَالْحَمْدِ وَالشُّكْرِ وَالتَوَكُّلِ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكِ. Then he mentions, what are those obligations on your heart? Sincerity, being praising Allah, being grateful, relying on Allah. وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ فَيَلْزَمُكَ مَعْرِفَتُهُ لِتُؤَدِّيَ. You have to know those things so you can do them. وَكَذَلِكَ لَا يَلْزَمُكَ مَعْرِفَةُ سَائِرِ أَبْوَابِ الْفِقْهِ مِنَ الْبُيُوعِ وَالْإِجَارَةِ وَالنِّكَاحِ وَالطَّلَاقِ وَالْجِنَايَاتِ. So also the same thing with fiqh. You don't have to know all the secondary issues like sales and transactions and renting and marriage and divorce. The deeper issues, not the foundations. والجنايات and criminal offenses وإنما كل ذلك فرض على الكفاية. Because that's for scholars to know, for teachers to know. Then he says, وإن قلت هذا القدر من العلم التوحيد هل يحصل بنظر الإنسان من غير معلم. Now as we finish, he takes us into the last important point about knowledge. And that is, after identifying what is knowledge, the purpose of knowledge, the three type of knowledges we should focus on, talking about innovation in religion, then talking about what we have to learn and what we don't have to learn, now he talks about having a teacher. فَإِن قُلْت And if you say, هَذَا الْقَدْرُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ التَّوْحِيدِ هَلْ يَحْصُرُ بِنَظْرِ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ غَيْرِ مُعَلِّمِ Those things that you mentioned that I have to know, right? Those foundational aspects of knowledge, especially here related to Tawheed. Is it possible to achieve that without a teacher? فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُسْتَاذَ فَاتِحٌ وَمُسَهِّلٌ وَالتَّحْصِيلُ مَعَهُ He said, of course, if you have a teacher, it's going to make life easier for you, young. أَسْهُلُ وَأَرْوَحُ It's going to make it easier and you're going to be more relaxed because you have like, it's like someone guiding you, right? وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِفَضْلِهِ يَمْتَنُّ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِ But Allah can bless who He wants. فَيَكُونُ هُوَ مُعَلِّمُهُمْ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى ثُمَّ عَلَمْ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْعَقَبَةَ الَّتِي هِيَ عَقَبَةُ الْعِلْمِ عَقَبَةٌ كَأُودٌ وَلَكِنْ بِهَا يَنَالُ مَطْلُوبُ وَالْمَقْصُودُ Ah. So the Shaykh is saying, It's better if you have a teacher. It's easier, it's going to make life easier for you. Then he says, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, talking about this way of knowledge, this obstacle of knowledge, he says, ثُمَّ أَعْلَمْ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْعَقَبَةَ الَّتِي هِيَ عَقَبَةُ الْعِلْمِ عَقَبَةٌ كَأُودٌ It's not an easy obstacle. وَلَكِنْ بِهَا يَنَالُ مَطْلُوبُ وَالْمَقْصُودُ But if you stick through it and you push through it, you will achieve what you're looking for. نَفْعُهَا كَثِيرٌ Its benefits are great. وَقَطْعُهَا شَدِيدٌ And to avoid it, it's going to give you a hard time. وَخَطْرُهَا عَظِيمٌ And its danger that we talked about earlier is immense. كَمْ مَنْ عَدَلَ عَنْهَا فَضَلْ How many people turned away from knowledge? Because sometimes, man, I just don't want to learn, dude. Like, I don't want to learn, bro. I'm good. So now he's warning people, don't be negligent of learning. كَمْ مَنْ عَدَلَ عَنْهَا فَضَلْ How many people turned away from it and went astray? وَكَمْ مَنْ سَرَكَهَا فَزَلْ And how many people tried to take this path and slipped? وَكَمْ مِنْ تَائِهِ فَهِيَ مُتَحَيِّرٌ And how many people went through it confused? وَكَمْ مِنْ حَبْرٍ مُنْقَطِعٍ وَكَمْ مِنْ سَرَكٍ قَطَعَهَا فِي مَدَّةٍ يَسِيرَةٍ وَآخَرُ مُتَرَدِّدٌ فِيهَا سَبْعِينَ سَنَةٍ You're just talking about more or less it's a dangerous, long, important path. So, it's good to have a teacher. وَالْأَمْرُ كُلُّهُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ But of course, everything is with Allah. أَمَّا نَفْعُهُ فَعَلَى مَا ذَكَرْنَا مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْحَاجَةِ لِلْعَبْدِ إِلَيْهِ وَبِنَاءِ أَمْرِ الْعِبَادَةِ كُلِّهِ عَلَيْهِ لَا سِيَّمَا عِلْمُ التَّوْحِيدِ وَعِلْمِ السِّرِّ So, after talking about, teacher, not teacher, then he mentions like, this is a tough path. To make it easy for yourself, you want to have a teacher. Then he mentions that everything rests on knowledge. And that the benefits of knowledge, مَا ذَكَرْنَا مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْحَجَّةِ لِلْعَبْدِ إِلَيْهِ We mentioned earlier how much you need it in order to worship and perform and live life accordingly. وَبِنَاءِ أَمْرِ الْعِبَادَةِ كُلِّهِ عَلَيْهِ And how ibadah itself is founded on knowledge. لَا سِيَّمَا عِلْمُ التَّوْحِيدِ وَعِلْمُ السِّرِّ Especially the knowledge of Tawheed and the knowledge of the path. فَلَقَدْ رُوِيَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَوْحَى إِلَى دَاوُودَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ He said, and رُوِيَ means it's probably weak, right? This form رُوِيَ is called صِغَةُ تَمْرِينَ صيغه تمريض والضاد رويه means like it's not necessarily strong, but it's there for a lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Sayyidina Dawood عليه الصلاة والسلام فقال يا داود تعلم العلم النافع. He said to Sayyidina Dawood, learn beneficial knowledge. Sayyidina Dawood said فقال إلهي وما العلم النافع. What's beneficial knowledge? قال أن تعرف جلالي وعظمتي وكبريائي وكمال قدرتي على كل شيء. He said that you learn about my transcendence, about my greatness, about my authority and my complete power over all things. Allahu Akbar. فَإِنَّ هَذَا الَّذِي يُقَرِّبُكَ إِلَيْهِ, because that's the knowledge that's going to bring me closer to you. وَأَنْ عَلِيٍّ كَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ مَا يَسُرُّنِي أَلَّوْ مِتُّ طِفْلًا أُدْخِلْتُ جَنَّةً وَلَمْ أَكْبَرْ فَأَعْرِفْ رَبِّي. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, I wouldn't be happy that if I had died as a child and I never had the chance to grow and learn and know Allah. Subhanallah. He said, you know, I wouldn't be happy if I died as a child and went straight to Jannah, but I never had the chance to grow and know Allah. Taba'an wa Sayyidina Ali hada a'rif billah min akabir awliya illah. That's the difference between someone عارف and عالم. قال لو مت طفلا وادخلت الجنة ولم أكبر فأعرف ربي. يعني ما يسرني هذا. It wouldn't make me happy if I just went to Jannah but I never had the opportunity to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الله أكبر. فإن أعلم الناس بالله أشدهم خشة وأكثرهم عبادة وأحسنهم في الله سبحانه وتعالى نصيحة. Then Sayyidina Imam Al-Ghazali radiallahu anhu wa arda, he says that, you know, the people who know Allah the most are those who have the most reverence for Allah, and those who are most in worship, and those who are most sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا شِدَّتِهَا فَابْذُلْ نَفْسَكَ فِي الْإِخْلَاصِ فِي طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ. At the end, he finishes talking about sincerity. And he says, you know, as to the difficulties of these things, then strive hard to be sincere in seeking knowledge. وَلِيَكُونِ الطَّلَبُ طَلَبَ دِرَايَ لَا طَلَبَ رِوَايَ. And let, and you know, he's saying here, especially for the non-scholar, you should seek the meaning and the general feelings and correct understandings of Islam. Not all the riwayat, this sheikh, from this, this asaneed, this. La'a. Seek ikhlas. Sayyidina Imam Malik used to say, al-ilm laysa bi kathrat al-riwaya. And al-ilm is not just about this, from this. Lakinnahu nur. But it's a light that Allah puts in the heart of the people. Of course, we have to learn. But you don't have to get into all that stuff. Wa'alam anna al-khatra azeemun faman talab al-ilm. ليصرف به وجوه الناس إليه ويجالس به الأمراء ويباهي به النظراء. Now at the end, Imam Al-Ghazali talks about something I think is very important. You know, subhanAllah, when I first studied and finished the Quran, I memorized the Quran, alhamdulillah, and my teacher in Oklahoma, I was asked to give a khutbah at a small MSA, you know? Like small, Anwar, he's been to Oklahoma, he knows. Like a small MSA. So I thought, khalas, it's nothing, you know, just go first time, give a khutbah at a small MSA, hafidh the Quran, alhamdulillah, memorize the Quran, no problem. So I went to my sheikh, I said, yes, sheikh, this MSA asked me to come and give the khutbah. He said, no. It's not good for you. It's not good for your development, man. And I remember what he told me, the statement of Sayyidina Imam Ibn Ata'Allah, udfun wujudaka fi ardil khumul, fama lam yudfan, أدفن وجودك في أرض الخمور فما لم يدف فما دفن لم forgot. But Sayyidina Imam bin Mata'Allah says, dig yourself in a deep earth. فما نبت مما لم يدفن ولم يتم نتائجه. الحمد لله الذي علمنا ما كنا نسينا. He says, dig yourself in an earth, deep, fertile earth. Because what's not dug deep will never grow and it won't ripen. I want to warn those brothers and sisters that are new to knowledge. You should not have Instagram accounts. You shouldn't be out there like that. You need to be working on yourselves. You don't need to be building yourself in that way. That's not the way of knowledge. One of my teachers, Sheikh Abdullah Hamoud from Yemen, used to say, "Al-ilmu sirru baynak wa bayna rabbik." The knowledge is between you and Allah. It ain't for the people. When I memorized Surah Al-Ali Imran, I went to the Sheikh and I said, "Mashallah." He said, "No, no, we're not having a party in the masjid. We're not doing nothing." He was trying to teach me something. I said, "Why?" He said, "It's not for the people. You didn't do that for the people." I remember one time in Azhar, I was walking across the campus. And one American came to me and grabbed me and said, I want to talk to you. How can I go to this university in Egypt? I said, why? They said, I want to be famous. Then he started to mention some famous imams. I said, that's why you want to study this? That's why you want to learn? You want to learn for this reason? We have to be very, very careful. So if you're new to your studies and you don't have a guide or a sheikh, man, don't be jumping on online, man, and making a name for yourself like that. It's not appropriate because you're not ripe yet. And unripened fruit, it doesn't taste good. It actually can poison people. That's different. Someone's asking, but how are we going to listen to you? I'm not saying I'm free of that test, but I put in my work. I didn't start in the public. I don't think people hear what I'm saying. You don't want to start in public. You don't want to start with fame. Start with sweat and blood and tears. Start living poor for studies. I remember there was a brother, mashallah, in Egypt from the US. He struggled, man, to stay there to study. He experienced poverty. So I don't think people are hearing me. I'm saying as you start, as the seed starts to grow, the light of fame is going to burn that seed. That's not a good thing. Learn first and then talk to your teacher and get that permission. That's the point. It's like someone that goes to the gym once and now they want to go enter a competition. Like, what are you going to accomplish? And the knowledge in the beginning demands secrecy. It demands that it's for Allah. So he says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْخَطْرَ عَظِيمٌ فَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمِ لِيَصْرِفَ بِهِ وُجُوهَ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ. He says, so be careful. One of the most dangerous things of knowledge is that somebody who seeks it to gain the attention of the people, وَيُجَالِسَ بِهِ الْأُمَرَى, and to sit with the leaders, right? The government leaders and so on, without any real reason. وَيُبَاهِيَ بِهِ النُّظَرَى, and to argue with, and here he means like people who like to debate. There's another narration says, al-juhala, the dumb people. Wa yatasayyadu bil-hutama. And then to like, you know, capture others. Fitijaratuhu ba'iratun wa safqatuhu khasira. Then this is a bankrupt business, man. And great loss. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من طلب العلم ليفاخر به العلماء أو ليماري به السفهاء أو ليصرف به وجوه الناس إليه أدخره الله النار. Whoever learns knowledge to, you know, impress the ulama and to argue with ignorant people and to gain followers and the attention of people, Allah will put that person in hellfire. We ask Allah to protect us all. None of us are free of this. This is a challenge. We ask Allah to forgive us all. Ya Rab. This hadith, by the way, is weak. It's related by Tirmidhi, but the meaning is sahih. Then he mentions the statement of Sheikh al-Bastami, qala Abu Yazid al-Bastami, al-Bastami, yani ba, مفتوحة رحمه الله. عملت في المجاهدة 30 سنة. Sheikh al-Bastami, he fought in jihad for 30 years. فما وجدت شيئا شد علي من العلم وخطري. He said, I never saw anything more dangerous than knowledge and the danger it presents. Meaning that fame, that thirst for attention. وإياك أن يزين لك الشيطان فيقول لك إذا كان قد ورد هذا الخطر الخطر العظيم في العلم كتركه أولى. He says, also be careful that shaitan will try to use this against you, say, oh, don't learn, you shouldn't learn, it's too dangerous. لا 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 لا. فلا تظن ذلك فلقد روي عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أطلعت ليلة المعراج. And the Prophet he mentions this narration of ليلة المعراج. فرأيت أكثر أهلها الفقراء قالوا يا رسول الله من المال قال لا باء من العلم. He says, actually, excuse me. He says, and be careful that shaitan tricks you and makes you think, oh, you have a lot of knowledge, so you don't have to practice, you don't have to worship, your knowledge is good. Then he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wasallam on the night of Isra and Mi'raj, he saw the hellfire and he asked, who are the most people in hellfire? They said, al-fuqara, the impoverished. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, min al-mal, from wealth, qala la, بل من العلم فمن لم يتعلم العلم لا يتأتى له أحكام. Then he says, لا من العلم. عفوًا. One second, my screen here. Yeah. So he says, be careful that everything he said, that shaitan will try to trick you and keep you from learning. Oh man, I'm not going to learn this. It's very dangerous. Like I don't want to learn because of all of these challenges. لا لا, you have to trust in Allah. Whatever Allah has given you, you take it. Right, what you have love for, but love needs like direction, man. So when we're saying here, if you just started learning, you shouldn't be on Instagram paying for likes. You shouldn't be in that space. The knowledge starts in secrecy. The knowledge starts in the cave of Hira. It doesn't start on وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدَخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. The other problem with that is that when I accustom my knowledge to the ethos of, say, Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat, then this is what is going to now create the standards of adab. And that's wrong. You know, some of the greatest scholars, they had no followers. Like, it's the truth. And some of the great scholars that you love now, they died alone. They weren't popular in their lifetime. Imam al-Bukhari. SubhanAllah, read about how he died. Imam Ibn Rushd, he died under house arrest. Al-Qadi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi, or Al-Qadi Iyad, if I remember, they went to visit him and they asked the people, where is he? They said, he's in this old house by himself. Sayyidina Imam Malik, you know, for an extended period of time, he didn't go to the masjid to pray because of fitna. Don't romanticize these people. Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa, he died in prison. So the ethos of knowledge has never been about likes. It's about ikhlas, to be with Allah. And we have to be very careful of how, especially in the West, contemporary religion as it's portrayed in the West is very shallow. It's one that roots itself in attention. لا قول الحق وإن كنت بوحدك يعني. Say the truth even if you're by yourself. In a polite way, of course. So the end of this section, Sayyidina Imam al-Ghazali is undermining everything we understand to mean a person is valued today. And that is that the real value is on life and offline. And we have to be very careful. Even the older people, teachers like others, all of us, none of us are free of this danger. Control yourself, check yourself. I posted about this today on Instagram. What is really valuable to you? Who are the people that really inform your intrinsic value? That's where you want to take your light from. We're commanded to teach, we're commanded to engage the people, absolutely. Whether it's two people or 1,000 people, it don't matter. doesn't matter. And what orbits around me? My wife. Someone asked me. It's a great question. I love it. My wife. First person to tell me if I'm doing right or wrong is my wife. Who knows if I miss Fajr in the masjid? My wife. Right? So you're, that's why Sayyidina Yusuf said about his mom and dad, they are the sun and the moon. And my brothers are stars. That's what orbits around him. That's what reflects his illumination. And that's what he reflects. Right now, Instagram, they told me, if you go live, we'll pay you to go live if you do certain things. I'm like, nah, man, I'm not about that, bro. Don't get me wrong, I'm trying to get paid. But not like that. Because then I start to wonder, what these people trying to do, man? So, you got to be careful. And none of us are free of this. You ask yourself right now as you listen to me, whoever you are, how much weight does social media put on your sense of self-worth? How much weight of something that you don't even know for real? It's imaginary. That weight should come from people closest to you, people who love you. People who care about you. When I see Anwar every week, I'm happy because I'm knowing Anwar now almost 30 years. It's crazy. I knew Anwar when there was a tornado in Oklahoma. Anwar came to my state. That's a ride or die person. I can take value from my relationship with Anwar. I've known him for, I knew when they started Islamic Relief.
Can I say something?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I've known this since the 90s. And what we knew about the sheikh is he will do whatever his teacher said. What the sheikh said today is easy to say, it's more difficult to do. So he was taking clear instructions. When we invited him to Islamic Relief events, he would first need to get permission from his sheikh. He spent years paying his dues. Then after his teaching in Oklahoma, he had other teachers in America. Then he spent years studying in Al-Azhar. Then he came back and he's studying. He didn't have an Instagram, Snapchat, or the Swiss Academy for decades until he put the hard work in. So I just want to really verify what the sheikh is saying. He's not paying me to say this. I just want to verify what he's saying he actually does. And there's witnesses who have known him for 30 years who have seen this. So the Instagram today came from the hard work, memorizing the Quran, studying from scholars from Africa, and going anywhere in the world to study.
Barakallahu fik. And most of the, you know, most of the brothers in my era and sisters, we learned from Imam Siraj. I remember we would invite Imam Siraj and Jamal Badawi, and they would not take money. They would not take money. Recently, someone contacted me, and they said, we know you're an influencer. I said, the only thing I'm influencing is my diaper's daughter, bro. My daughter's diaper. And my oldest daughter who's trying to decide what college she wants to get into. That's who I should be influencing. How much do you charge per letter? I said, nah, I don't know nothing about all that, man. It's not because I'm a good person, but that's not Islamic work, man. That's not how we work. We need to help and support each other. Mashallah, I heard about one imam. Mashallah, in the U.S., Anwar. He refuses to take money for Palestine and Kashmir and Ethiopia. He said, I refuse. I can do any other relief work you want me to do. And the Uyghurs, I think, is what I heard. But he said, these people and the Rohingya, he said, I'm not taking money. I'm going to do the work. And I know that he did a whole contract for 2 weeks in the month of Ramadan, akhi. Every day, public posting, putting stuff out. I'm not going to say his name because he told me not to. And he told me, I cannot sleep at night taking money because of what's happened in Palestine. I cannot take, because he's not a relief organization, that's different. Alhamdulillah, they need that money to function. But he himself, as an imam, he said, as an imam, it's not right for me to take money from people like this when we're helping the community. I said, subhanAllah. And that brother, he needs. I almost contacted, you know, some of those organizations like, yo, can you slide him a little something? You know, slide him a little something. But he was like, I can't take money for that. who taught us that stuff, man, is Imam Siraj. Man, Imam Siraj and Dr. Jamal do not get enough credit for how they raised us and taught us what it means to work. And Imam Siraj used to always tell us that it's an honor that Allah allows you to work for him. Like, that's enough. So here Imam Al-Ghazali says, إن إذا كان قد ورد هذا الخطر العظيم في العلم فتركه أولى. He said, be careful that shaitan tells you that. Like, oh my gosh, knowledge is so dangerous, don't learn. He said, فلا تظن ذلك فلا قد روي عن رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قد. He said, don't fall for that because it is reported, I mean, it's not strong, that the Prophet said, أطلعت ليلة المعراج, on the night of Isra and Mi'raj, على النار, I saw hellfire. فَرَأَيْتُ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِهَا الْفُقَرَىٰ And the most of its occupants were the poor. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمَالِ It said, you mean they didn't have money? قَالَ لَا مِنَ الْعِلْمِ They didn't have knowledge. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَعَلَّمُ الْعِلْمَ لَا يَتَأَتَّى لَهُ أَحْكَامُ الْعِبَادَاتِ وَالْقِيَامُ بِحُقُوقِهَا كَمَا يَنْبَغِي And he keeps saying it over and over. Who hasn't learned is not going to be able to worship correctly. وَلَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا عَبَدَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَبَدَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عِبَادَةَ مَلَائِكَةِ السَّمَوَاتِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ كَانَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ He said, you know, this is, of course, is hyperbole, but he's like, if somebody worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like the malaika for a long extended period of time without knowledge, they would still be in trouble. They would still be in trouble. فَشَمِّرْ فِي طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ بِالْبَحْثِ وَالْتَلْقِينِ وَالْتَدْرِيسِ So work hard to seek knowledge and study. وَاجْتَنِبِ الْكَسَّ وَالْمَلَالِ And avoid being lazy and like, you know, we say in Oklahoma, like heavy boned. وَإِلَّا فَأَنْتَ فِي خَطْرِ الضَّلَالِ Because you're going to be lost. وَالْعِيَاذَ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ Then he says, ثُمَّ جُمْلَةُ الْأَمْرِ أَنَّكَ إِذَا نَظَرْتَ فِي دَلَائِلِ صُنْعِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَأَمْعَنْتَ النَّظَرَ عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ لَكَ وَلَنَا إِلَهًا قَادِرًا عَالِمًا حَيًّا مُرِيدًا سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا And he says, you know, again, kind of going back to what he said earlier, the crux of this issue is that if you were to look at all the evidences around you, they would point to you to the fact that you have a God who's all-powerful, all-knowing, living, willing, hearing, and seeing. مُتَكَلِّمًا مُنَزَّهًا عَنْ حُدُوثِ الْكَلَامِ وَالْعِلْمِ وَالْإِرَادَةِ And he says, who of course, you know, is free and transcendent of any kind of beginning or end, right? Or any type of human speech or human knowledge or human physical will. مُقَدَّسًا عَنْ كُلِّ نَقْصٍ وَآفَاتٍ Free of any imperfections or mistakes. لا يصف بصفات المحدثين ولا يجوز عليه ما يجوز على المخلوقين ولا يشبهه شيئا من خلقه ولا يشبهه شيء ولا يتضمنه الأماكن والجهات Of course, he's going into these issues about God again, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the foundations, that you know that Allah is free of imperfections, free of being like creation. Creation is like him. He's not hadith, he doesn't have a beginning or an end. And I actually have a lecture on YouTube introducing Aqidah. The first part's up, second part hopefully will come this week. And it's impossible for us, it's not allowed to compare God to any of his creation. So therefore we don't describe him in a location or a place, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَحُلُّهُ الْحَوَارِثُ وَالْآفَاتُ وَنَذَرْتُ فِي مُعْجِزَاتِ الرَّسُولِ Then he talks about the prophets. He says, وَنَذَرْتُ فِي مُعْجِزَاتِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَآيَاتِهِ وَعَلَامِ نُبُوَّتِهِ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ He said, if you were to take just a glance at the miracles of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the signs he brought and the things he taught and the announcements related to his prophethood, you would know that he عليه الصلاة والسلام is trustworthy, truthful, and honest. And everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm trying now to finish this chapter. Let's see how much we have left, because we don't want to take too much time. We may stop here just because, it's getting now almost 8. It's been an hour and a half. Nah. We'll stop there because there's still some more things to cover. Next week, insha'Allah ta'ala, we'll continue with the Aqabat al-Ilmi and we'll finish it. Alhamdulillah. For those of you joining on Instagram, this is recorded. You can watch it on Instagram again. And also it's put up on my YouTube page. Most importantly, you can join us here on the Zoom at icnyu.org. If there's any questions, I'm more than happy to take them now. Let me just glance at the chat. As I said earlier, the reason that I'm reading this in Arabic is unfortunately the translation is not bad, but it's not good, right? The translation I found was not as is not as precise as it should be. And now I'm just translating from the dome, so I'm sure in my translation there'll be some challenges, but it happens. Alhamdulillah, wa ma tawfiqi illa billah. And again, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to, you know, protect us from challenges. None of us, and that's why we have to have a community that supports one another. We're in a strange place because we have adopted the hatred. Hating a Muslim is popular, right? So perhaps we have inadvertently translated that into hating each other. So we love to find shortcomings. But everyone makes mistakes, man. Kullu bani adam khata. We have to create a community that when it comes to, you know, mistakes that are normal, right? I'm not talking about egregious errors and things like that. We carry each other a little bit, man. Nah. So there's a few questions. I'm taking them now. I see Imam Mark Manley is here. Allahu Akbar. Imam Mark Manley is here. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak. And Ahsan is taking notes. That's the other thing. If you're on the Zoom, mashallah, you get to check out the notes that Ahsan has taken. This class is recurring every Tuesday, alhamdulillah, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. We're reading Minhaj al-Abidin of Imam al-Ghazali, where he recognizes seven obstacles to a life of faith and devotion. And the first is knowledge. He helps us navigate the dangers of knowledge, right? Any questions before we let people go? Barakallahu feek, also Anwar, for your nice words. May Allah bless you, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair.
Rabbana akramkum, inshallah.
Assalamualaikum, I have a question.
Absolutely.
So you were talking about how when it comes to like the pursuit of knowledge or when you're studying or anything, you shouldn't really be out there kind of, you know, exposing that too much, especially when we're in the beginning. Is that more so in regards of like speaking on issues that we don't really have any idea about, or just in general where like just engaging with the community in, for example, like Quran reflection circles or things like that?
Yeah, so again, like I know who's asking this question. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, good student, good person. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you and your family, NYU folks. So we need to take everything I said in moderation, right? We don't want to go too extreme, right? In either way. So when we talk about in the early stages of our studies, right, we do not need to put ourselves out there in the culture of exhibition that is really just there for attention. But let's say you, I know you, so let's say your local masjid, right? They need a woman to conduct a tafsir circle for young people. You should do that, absolutely. That's very different. But think about it, in my time, the khutbah back in those days, that's where you got all the attention, right? That's where you may get unhealthy attention. But the sheikh, at the same time, he didn't let me do that. He made me teach ajrumiya to new brothers. So he kept me away from the bling, but he had me working. He had me going into the prisons and teaching people, right, at that time. But he kept me away from that, you know, the glitz, man, the unhealthy attention. I hope that answers your question. So most definitely, like, say, MSA, halaqas, things like that, where they need people to teach. Of course, because if nobody does it, it's not going to happen. But what we're talking about here is, especially the way the world is now, right? Everybody, you know, people jumping off concrete buildings, man, 300 feet above the earth to get attention. It's crazy, right? This is what Imam al-Ghazali is warning us about, right? Falling into getting the shine before we're ready. In fact, my teacher, he told me a funny story. When he was teaching in Senegal, He said there was this guy, he became famous because he had a nice voice. He didn't really have a lot of knowledge, but he had a nice voice. So people started to invite him to sing like what some people like consider like qasidas and stuff, right? So, you know, he would do it and people got confused. Like, wow, he has a nice voice. That must mean automatically it equates to like knowledge. So then he came to the Sheikh, my teacher, Sheikh Ahmed. And he said, can I study with you? He said, yeah. He said, okay, Sheikh, just one request. Can I go in the back door of your house? Can I go to the back, the alley, at nighttime? The Sheikh, he said, such a strange request. But then the Sheikh, I realized he didn't want people seeing him learn. That's the other good sign of a teacher, that you see them learning. My teacher used to say, and Azhar Sheikh Hijazi used to say, a good teacher not only teaches you how to teach, he teaches you how to study. He teaches you how to sit and learn. I remember in the first year or second year, Dr. Hassan, who was our teacher in Maliki Fiqh, who was like, mashallah, man, this dude's like 10 brains, you know what I'm saying? And we would go to the class of Sheikh Ahmed Taha Rayyan, and he would be sitting next to us, taking notes. For not only did he teach us, like, you know, as a teacher, but we saw him as a student. And I think that's what, you know, Imam Ghazali is saying. Like, don't make the reason for teaching attention. Any other, I hope that answers your question, inshallah. Any other questions, inshallah? We know this Friday, the ICNYU is opening up to NYU folks. I'm looking forward to being there, alhamdulillah. In NYU, mashallah, mashallah. A lot of students, a lot of co-workers and friends, alhamdulillah. And then the second thing is, on Friday night, we're also going to have a program, hopefully in Brooklyn Park, with myself and Imam Khalid by Jane's Carousel. So we look forward to seeing people. Look for that information, I think, to come out on Thursday. Any other questions people asking? Every Tuesday we meet at 7, alhamdulillah, 6:30, sorry, Eastern. And we'll continue to read through the book. And the reason that we're reading through the book is the translation is a little bit, God bless people. You know what I mean? I have no gripes. It's not easy. But inshallah, we want to make sure that we're really reading it well. Any other questions? Someone's asking, I suffer from low mood and anxiety disorder. What can I do to be more disciplined? I don't know. This is not my field. But I think this is something that you may need to talk to your primary physician about, and then maybe see if there's like some type of therapy or even medication that you can take. This is not something that I'm trained in, so I'm not able to give an answer for that, inshallah. May Allah cure you and bless you, and really thankful that you felt comfortable enough to ask that question here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you, inshallah. طيب بارك الله فيكم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يثبتنا الحق وأن يصلح بالنا ويثبت قدامنا وينصرنا يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we'll post the recordings of this later on YouTube. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.